Actually, that really goes along with what we're studying tonight. Grab your Bibles. 1 Timothy. And we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians, don't panic. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Let's bow. Our most kind and gracious Lord, we do thank you for this time that we can come here tonight. Lord, once again, freely that we're able to come to church. Lord, this is where you gather with us at. It's an appointed time. It's a divine time. Lord, I believe it's a divine appointment for each of us every time that we come to your house. Open the ears of our hearts. Let us take it in and use it for your honor and your glory. And these things I pray in Christ's name. Amen. I thank the Lord Jesus for counting me faithful and putting me into the ministry. I've talked to some preachers, pastors over the years, missionaries over the years, and they may get mad. They may get hurt. They get pushed around sometimes, been stabbed in the back a few times. Amen. And a lot of members will pat you on the back. We love you, Pastor, but they're seeking a soft place. So they nail you later. They want to keep that guarded there. They know where it's at. So if they need to, they can attack you. But I'm going to tell you something. I've never met one that told me that they wasn't thankful God put them in the ministry. There's a lot of nights pastors and missionaries don't sleep. A lot of time they spent praying for people that just soon boot them down the road. But nonetheless, I do. I count it a blessing that the Lord put me in the ministry. Now, with that said, and I thought the song went real well with what we're going to talk about. Chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, and I'm going to kind of go through a few verses with some statements beside them, little headings for them, and then we'll sort of come back, and we're going to do hit and miss of this verse, that verse, jump around, but nonetheless, we're going to cover them. Verses 1 through 6 of chapter 2 really is talking about a faithful steward. Now, you remember 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 is really how the church in Thessalonica was born, how it got there. And it got there because Paul was witnessing to people, telling them about the Lord. They got saved, and they started this little group of people there that's a church. And he tells about how it all started. It all started with a bunch of babes in Christ. They didn't have a clue. Some of them had been in the temple, some of them hadn't, but they didn't really have a clue. And so the first six verses really is talking about faithful stewardship. The 7 and 8 is talking about how Paul actually treated them sort of as a nurse takes care of little kids, take care of little children. He nursed them along. He helped them. 9 through 13, he talks about how he was more like a father to them, and honestly, as you grow in the Lord, you first start out as a babe, and you get a little child and you need kind of helping along, and then a father, you may need a little reprimanding here and there. And then he talked in 14 through 20 like a loving brother. He went to him and, hey, I love you, I care about you, and that's kind of based on what this whole chapter is about. Verse 1 says, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi. Now, you know what happened to him at Philippi. Him and Silas got thrown in prison there. They got beat. They got thrown in prison illegally, but they didn't hold that against them. They let it ride, and they spent time in there, which, by the way, it added to the church at Philippi. Because the jailer got saved, his wife and children got saved, and they started going to the church with Lydia. So that's how that worked. And he says they were treated badly there. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which tries our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. And then he tells us in verse 7, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Let that be a lesson for us. We need to be gentle, compassionate when we're presenting the gospel to people. We really do. They need to understand it, but it needs to come out with love. They need to get the picture that, hey, it's real. But you got to remember, you're dealing with some people that it's getting more and more in our lifetime unchurched people. They have no clue. They don't get it. And you might even have to start all the way over at Adam and go. It helps if you know the Bible. How do you know the Bible? You study it. Listen, that's the way a lot of them preach. They started at Adam and went all the way through because, listen, these people didn't have a clue. Now, in chapter 1, Paul discussed about the church at Thessalonica, how it started. Now, he discusses the nurturing of this church. Paul saw it really as a family. At least 17 times in 1 Thessalonians, he used the word brother or brethren. At least 17 times. Now, I might have miscounted, but I'm going to say that at least. In this letter, when we're saved, we become a family with a whole lot of people. And it doesn't matter what your race is. Doesn't matter what your color is, your origin. We all belong to Jesus. So, we got, believe it or not, if you want to look at it this way, we got, if anybody says, well, you're one of those prejudiced people. Well, not really. I got a brother that's Chinese. Well, I got a brother that's African American. I got a brother that's African. Because anybody that is saved, we're brothers and sisters with. So think about that. You come from a multicolored family, multiracial family, however you want to put it. We're from all different walks of life and we're family. So we got one up on them. but nonetheless, we need to see people that way. We don't need to see their color. I need to see who they really are. If they claim to be saved, they're a brother or sister in Christ. That's what they are. This church there in Thessalonica, it was started with babes in Christ. They didn't have a clue. They got saved and they're like, what do we do now? You know, too many times, and I'm guilty, too many times I've led people to the Lord and I know other people that's led folk to the Lord and then they just walk away. What are they going to do now? They get all messed up with stuff. Now, yeah, you can't drag them to church. But I'm going to be honest with you, and I got to be careful what I'm going to say here, but I'll just say it because that's the way I am. If they truly are saved, they're going to want to get mixed up with church. They're going to want to be around the Lord's children. They're going to want to learn what the Lord has for them. I'll just leave it at that. The church was started with babes in Christ. They needed nurturing, and it takes someone being a faithful steward to fulfill the need that they have. That's what it takes. It takes a saved person being a faithful steward to the Lord to do that. You don't have to turn there, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and verse 1 and 2, the Lord says through Paul, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." In other words, I need to be faithful at what I'm teaching you, because if I'm not, what good's it doing? Because you're going to see me as an example. You're going to say, "Well, Brother Jim says we ought to be in church, but he's laying out all the time." Brother Jim said we ought to read the Bible, but hey, he don't have the time to read the Bible. It shows when he preaches. Don't nobody say amen. But honestly, we need to be faithful at what we're doing. We really do. And honestly, it will show. If you're not studying the Word as a teacher, if you're not studying the Word as a preacher or missionary, it takes a person out there about 5 minutes at the max to figure out, he didn't study this very good. It doesn't, and I'm going to be up front with you. Those two right there, they can tell whether you studied or not in a matter of just minutes. You approach little kids and you ain't studied, you're in trouble. Because they're going to come off with something and you're going to be like, you better know what you're talking about. We need to be faithful in studying. You see, my first responsibility above anything else is to be faithful to the Lord so that I can nourish you guys. I can feed the flock. 2 Timothy, here, we'll go and read all of this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and that's 1 Timothy, that's not going to work out for us. Or me. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." That's the whole idea of what I'm doing. I am telling you that you can teach others, that you can tell others what they need to know. I'm to be faithful to that. 1 Peter chapter 5, we'll go over there all the way to 1 Peter and read that. Not that far away. "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder." In other words, he was a pastor. "And a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not of filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." If I'm not feeding you, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm wasting your time and I'm wasting my time. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow by." If I'm not giving you any milk, then you can't ever get any bread and you can't get any meat. You got to have something. We got a, where's little Stella hiding at?
Right here.
She got that little pacifier she's got, that's just a plug. It's to keep the whine down. And it helps somewhat until that hunger just overrules, or sin overrules, spits that dude out. until you pick her up, and then she's fine. She's lying to you. They will. They lie. Amen. They do. They come out of the womb lying to you. But listen, she's got to have a little bit of milk. She ain't got no teeth yet. So you don't want to go cram a ribeye in there. It's not going to be a harmonious outcome. She's going to have a hard time chewing that up and swallowing it. There's some things that I could talk to some of us in here about, and we'd be like, really? And then there's some things I could talk to some of us in here about, and they'd be like, whoa, 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 whoa. You've lost your mind. Because that's the way that works. As we grow in the Lord, there's some pastors. Man, you get some preachers together. And he can back me up on it. You get some preachers together, and they get to talking about some stuff, and you're like, what? Are you serious? Is that in the Bible? You know, if you're not... Because there's some things that come up. Now, a lot of it's just gemology or Larryology or Brother John Richardsonology. That's what some of it is. But nonetheless, it's just things that come through in the Bible. Years ago, somebody told me one time, well, you know, God's got a wife. And I said, huh? I said, he ain't married to nobody. Well, yeah, he is. He give Israel a letter of divorcement. That's got to be your wife, or you see. Now I realize it's a picture, it's a type, but nonetheless, when you start mentioning that to people, they're like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. I've even heard people when you talk about the bride of Christ, well, I'm not a bride, I'm a man. You're missing the picture here. But sometimes it's above some people's pay grade. You know what I mean? Anyway, we'll go on. Now, a key verse in here is verse 11. Paul says, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 11. He says, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children. He spoke to them, and he nourished them as a nurse would, and he talked to them as a father would. Your father, if he anywhere decent, won't on purpose lead you astray. They'll tell you the truth to what they understand. And that's what he was doing. He was talking to them about that. So... when we go to the sincere milk of the Word, we start learning. But eventually, we've got to get off the milk. We've got to move on. And that's what he was trying to do. Now, listen, we're talking about a church that was 3, 4, 5 months old. Good grief. I've known people, and know some, that have been in church all their life, and they still suck in their thumb. And every now and then, if they get a chance, they'll get the bottle. They don't want to get into the meat of the Word, because that may mean they got to do something. You know, I understand that, because they don't want to do anything. So they don't want to really get into it serious. But that's where becoming a faithful steward comes in at. We're to teach that. We're to teach, listen, you need to get off the milk. You need to start chewing a little bit of stuff. And you need to get up off your blessed assurance and do something. That's when you come as a father. You know, my dad would come home, son, what have you done today other than sit there? Which wasn't a lot with me. Usually, what have you done today other than you've been out playing with the horses? Because that was my bad thing. Or either I was being lazy with a fishing pole somewhere on a creek bank. But, he'd say, the yard ain't cut. Oh, Dad. But he'd get on to me, and that's what we got to do sometimes. We got to get on to people and say, hey, we need to get up off of it and do something. You see, as a new believer grows and a pastor starts treating each one more like a brother, there's some things that you'll talk to this person about that you may not talk to this person about, because they're not ready to hear that yet. As it cruises along, as they grow, that's kind of the way it works. Now, let's look at growth. God's chosen people for ministries. Believe it or not, we are so important that God chose us over angels to present the Word of God to people. Now, how many of you think would have listened if an angel come flopping down there and said, "You need to get your life together"? They'd probably be trying to, "Hey, I don't know what I smoke, but I ain't smoking no more of that." That's what I'm going to say. If one comes flopping up there, I'm going to say, "Whoa, wait a minute, what have you been feeding me?" it's our job. The Lord's placed ministers and teachers. Let's go over to Ephesians. Back up. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, he said, "And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." Now, the Lord placed certain people in certain ministries, and he places them in certain churches all around the U.S., all around the world. But why does he do that? He answers it right here. He said, "For the perfecting of the saints." That's the whole idea. It's for the saints. That's the saved people, not who the Pope sainted. We don't care what the Pope sainted. When you get saved, you become a saint. And that's what pastors and teachers are. I have a little bit of problem with people that just don't want to go to church. "Well, I'm saved, you know, but I don't think I'm going to get baptized. And I don't believe in corporate worship." You know, a bunch of hypocrites. Well, one more ain't going to hurt. Come on in with us. You know, I mean, honestly. But you know, it never amazes me. Every one of them that claims church is full of hypocrites, they go to Walmart that's full of hypocrites. Amen. And they shop right in there with them. Don't have a problem. I have a real problem with a person like that. But why did the Lord do it this way? He done it for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. But look at this, what's even more important. For the edifying of the body of Christ. The church. It's for the edifying of the church. It's so that we can grow in the Lord and do what our purpose is, which is telling others about Jesus. That's what Paul was doing with these guys. He was teaching them. And later he sent Timotheus over there to take care of them, or Timothy, however you want to say his name. He sent him over there to preach to them, to pastor to them. You see, the saints are to mature, grow, and work to ministry and tell others the gospel and invite people. "Oh, come on out to Wagon Wheel. We have a good time out there." No. I think I said this the other day. "Do you want to go to a restaurant to taste it?" "Well, yeah, if you're hungry, they've got good food." Well, if I'm hungry, I can stay home and eat a sandwich. When I go, I want to eat something that's good. And I want somebody to tell me, Tony sold me on Fox Barbecue. When I first moved here, Tony asked me, by the way, pray for him. I don't know if he's traveling now or be traveling in the morning, but he's been up in Reno with Kyle. But they went to some church this morning. They're trying to find them a good church. Which is, amen, is a good thing. But Tony sold me on Fox Barbecue. He didn't come to me and say, "Hey, you ever been to Fox Barbecue? Well, y'all go try this for you." No. Man, the way Tony presented it, my mouth was watering by the time he was done. You know, he's telling me, he said, "Brother," he said, "you haven't ate there?" I said, "No." He said, "The ribs." He said, "They just fall off the bone." He said, "Man, they're so good." He said, and coleslaw, "I never knew that it needed cayenne pepper in it." He said, "Oh, it's so good." And I'm like, "Oh, gosh, I got it." We went a couple days later and ate there. He made it sound so, that's what we're to do. They need to see that in us. I go to Wagon Wheel, I enjoy it there, we have a good time. And hey, you know, I mean, that's what we got to do. Why am I saved?
Because I'm going to go to heaven one day. I've got a peace that passes all understanding. All this mess is going on. You think I care? I ain't worried about it. I'm going to heaven. We need to be excited about it. And by the way, just think if everybody in here invited one person to church. Oh, that would double what we have tonight. That's hard math there, though. That ain't common core. That's just real math. That's just not the lying math. That's real math. Listen, 2 plus 2 is still 4. I don't care what common core says. You can't get 5 out of 2 plus 2. It ain't going to happen. But if we all invited one, that would double it, triple it, quadruple it. But, hey, why don't you come to church with me? Okay. Because they're going to tell you no. Most folk don't want to go to church. They want to go to the lake. But you tell them, hey, why don't you go to church with me? Well, I don't know, man. I ain't been in church. Stealing probably fault. No, it's okay. I'll tell you what, I'll make a deal with you. Come to church with me, I'll buy you a burger. Coax them. Yeah. It may be the best thing that ever happened to them. They may get saved. What a blessing that'd be. That's what we... One, listen. If everybody in here was doing that, we'd be figuring up a building plan. Because we'd need a new building. You see, that's what's wrong. I'm going to sound mean for a minute. And I'm going to be unfiltered. It ain't my job. Amen. It isn't. Amen. There ain't nowhere that says that it's the pastor's job. Matter of fact, if you read in Acts, it's your job. Amen. Acts chapter 6. We need some men to help because we got lots of problems. Now I'm going to jump on somebody else. Pick you out some deacons. Because us and the apostles, me and the rest of the apostles, we're going to study the word, we're going to pray so we can feed the flock. But what happens to most churches, they want to get mad because the pastor isn't out there doing everything they think he ought to be doing because by gosh, he could pay for it. But then they want to nag because did he even study for that sermon? Hello? It's the member's job. Sheep create more, bring in more sheep. Amen. That's the way it works. Listen, a shepherd out there in the field, believe it or not, I've been around some shepherds and some sheep. Sheep are nasty. They're stupid. Amen. But no offense. sheep are what brings more sheep. That's how come they get more sheep. The shepherd ain't doing that job. All he does is take care of them and feed them and water them. I'm just saying, that's what's supposed to take place. Paul tried to tell them that. He said, listen, he said, we need to all be out working. That's what he was telling them in 1 Thessalonians. And when you read 1 Thessalonians, he says it's because of what they were doing that they were growing. It wasn't because of Paul, what he was doing, because, by the way, Paul wasn't there. Paul had to leave, remember? Got in a big fight. They come in and wasn't with the church. Them nuts from Berea, I think it was, come down and jumped on him and said, it caused the same problem there. No, it was Iconium. The same problem that they'd had there, they stoned him. He was doing the same thing there, presenting the word, and it took them a while. It ain't like us. We get the car 75, we're there in 30 minutes. No, it took him a few days to figure out. He did what? I can hear him now. I thought we taught him a lesson. Now he's down there preaching again, so they come down there and stirred trouble up. You see, that's the job is of us. And by the way, you've been entrusted with the gospel yourself. You may not be called to the ministry itself. Not everybody can be a pastor. Not everybody can be a missionary. Not everybody's going to be a teacher. But it's everybody's job in Wagon Wheel. It's everybody's job at Long Mountain
to get out and tell others about Christ. And by the way, in Acts chapter 6, they chose them 7 deacons. Let me give you another heads up. It ain't all the deacons' job to do it either. What I can do is this much. What the deacons can do, maybe this much. But what all you guys can reach is that much. You're out in the world more than I am. I'm between the house and between the church 90% of the time. Most of you go to work. We all go shopping. We all have that opportunity. We do. We had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We had 7 visitors this morning. One of them has been coming off and on, and he brought his family with him, Chris. And then 2 of them work with Milagros. That's what they're supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be inviting people to church. You know why Chris come to church? Because Mary invited him. He came to church several Sundays ago. That's what we're supposed to do. Do you know what he told me today? He told me, he said, I am amazed at the change in her. Now, she may be watching me, and for all I know, he might be. But it's a testimony for Wagon Wheel and for us preaching the gospel and teaching the gospel. He said, it is amazing the change he's seen in her. And trust me, he's known her a long time. But that's what they're doing. Now, if all of us would do what Milagros did and invite somebody to church, what Mary did and invite somebody to church, because he's kind of like her therapist, something like that. She'd known him for years. Guess what? She invited him. You ever invited your doctor to church? I did. He told me, no, they do something else. But nonetheless, that's what we ought to be doing. We ought to be inviting people to church and telling them what's going on here. It's not all the pastor's job. It's not the deacon's job. It's all of our job. Really and truly, that's what we're to be up to. All right, I got to keep going. Oh, yeah, I do. We're on the last part anyway. Paul and company came and they gave an example to these people in Thessalonica. They showed up there. He preached. He walked into the synagogue. He preached the gospel. There was people got saved. There was people got, maybe Gentiles got saved on the street. I don't know how many was in there, but I do know that they were getting saved. He was setting the example of what we're supposed to be doing. In the last 5 to 6 years, we've knocked on 5,000 plus doors in Henderson. That's a lot of doors. That's a lot of, and some of them we wasn't supposed to knock on, and they let us know that because they had the no soliciting. But I had a really good friend here named Mike. He said, oh, I see a solicitor, no solicitor, I'm going to the door. I said, no, don't do that. He would have been out of shape when he called. He left a message on the recorder, and it wasn't nice. And it wasn't bleeped out. He was not thrilled about it. So, no, we don't need to do that. But listen, that needs to keep going. We need to continue knocking on doors. And it doesn't just need to be Jose and Deanna knocking on the doors. Before COVID hit, now see I'm being the father. Before COVID hit, there was Jose and Deanna basically going out every now and then. Jose would go out with them. Where were the rest of everybody at? 1 hour at max on a Saturday. 1 month, 1 Saturday a month. Okay, I'll leave you alone now. You see, wagon wheel, can wagon wheel imagine what it would be like if one Saturday a month, or a Thursday, or whatever day, 15, 20, 30, 40 people got together, and I know right now we got a situation that's called China virus. Makes it hard to do. But what if, when all of that's over with, and it'll be over with in, what, less than a month or somewhere in there, right after November 3rd, it all ends, so you don't have to worry about it. And right after, can you imagine if 40 or 50 people from Wagon Wheel went out knocking on doors all over the town? You know what happened one year? We brought a bunch of teenagers from Arkansas. They busted the neighborhoods, and I went with them, and a bunch of us went with them. They had a good time. They knocked on doors. Do you know I got a call from the Mormon bishop that wanted to know if we could join our forces together? No, we can't. That's not going to work. For one thing, you won't drink tea with me. No, we don't worship the same Jesus. We don't. But listen, we got their attention. That's what we need. We need to get people's attention, whether they like us or not. We need to get people's attention. We're to be faithful, we're to grow, and we're to spread the gospel that was entrusted to us. I want you to look at this, then we're going to quit. Look at verse 2 of chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians. Well, let me turn the page. Look at verse 2. It says, at the bottom of it, at the bottom of that verse, the end of that verse, the gospel of God. Look at verse 4. He says, put me in trust with the gospel. Verse 8. It says in there, not the gospel. He says, puts the verse 9. Well, he says, not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls. Look at verse 9. Unto you, the gospel of God. Listen, it's about the gospel. That's what it's all about, is telling people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Letting folk know, listen, Christ died for you. He shed His blood on Calvary, and He died on the cross for you, and He rose again. And He's in heaven now. And He's alive. That's what it's about, people. It's about telling others about Jesus. And then, yes, once we do that, if we can get them in here, even if they don't get saved, if we can get them interested in coming to church, they'll hear the gospel. I was told this morning by two visitors. And I'm not bragging, because it's Wagon Wheel. But I was told we're one of the few places in this area that preaches the truth. That's a shame, but it's true. He said, I like that kind of preaching. He said, where you unapologetically tell it like it is and you take it right out of the Bible. He said, that's what we need to hear. We don't need to hear this watered down mess. He said, we've had enough of that. And that's true. We're here to tell others about Jesus because, to be honest with you, it's about said and done. I look for it any day. Well, what if Trump gets reelected? Well, what if? I'm going to heaven whether he does or don't. Listen, I'll be up front with you. I'm big on getting him back in the White House because what we've got on the other side is communism. And I really don't want to have to preach the gospel in prison. I will, but I really don't want to. But I'm all for that. But Trump ain't holding Jesus up. Just because if he gets elected, and I believe he will, but just because he does, that don't mean Jesus is going to say, wait a minute, we better give him four more. Trump ain't got nothing to do with it. It's all about Jesus. And when God says, hey, go get your people, we're done. We need to be telling others about Christ.